It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
What a beautiful day it is to be speaking with The Citizen Lobbyist. Have you been outside or are you just watching through the window?
I'm watching right now through the window, but I'm going to be walked by my dog soon.
Okay, very good. Well, it's been an interesting week, and one of the things that happened was a Tuesday Borough Assembly meeting, and I thought we might begin there. I understand you were able to listen. I was there. I watched. I streamed that meeting, recorded it. We'll have it up on the website for people who are wondering what happened. But I think it's worth walking through some of the discussions that went on. Where do you want to start?
Oh, good. I'm glad you. I watched from home. I had a little bit of a conflict, but I did watch. I listened to the stream, and I kind of got there a little bit late, Mike. I guess it's worth starting to say that everybody was there. There was nobody absent. The mayor was running the meeting, and they started out after their agency reports with a presentation from the Wastewater Septic Advisory Board. Did you listen to any of that, Mike, or was there anything significant? I did miss that point.
Yeah, there were two things that I jumped to that stick out for me. So I can't comment directly about that one. I have to admit this, in full disclosure, I had to break away for a few minutes and I missed that portion of things, but I was back in time for the discussion about the sale of the land, and I thought we could begin there.
Okay.
I
don't think there was really, we can double back next week and see if there was anything of significance there. I missed that part too, but yeah, I listened to that. On my agenda, that was sort of the first big deal that they talked about, and it had to do with an ordinance that was reclassifying some general purpose and ag land to the Great Land Christian Church to actually now sell that to them with some free, simple estate land. So it was very interesting and some interesting twists that we don't normally see. This has to do with Gateway to the Arctic Camp that there was some pretty passionate testimony about, that it's a nonprofit that provides service to, sounds like youth, basically.
Yes, and the audience, by the way, I was there to see a large number of people, not only the testifiers, but the large number of the people that are served by the camp were also there.
Right, yeah, some type of a model for independent living is what it was sort of explained to. Assemblywoman Bovee just talked about what wonderful work that they do. There was some really passionate testimony by some past and present participants of it. And it looked like it was getting overall support, and that would be it. And then, of course, you just never know about George McKee, the Assemblyman McKee that was talked about $119,000 as being the fair market value for that piece of property. And he jumped in and said, I think it should be less than that. And he's such a conservative guy. I don't think anybody saw this coming.
But, oh, no. It was obvious surprise.
Borough has plenty of land. There's good history at the camp. And that he wanted to set it below market price at $59,980. And there was some back and forth, of course, with the attorney about it. But then another in sort of a surprise, or non-surprise, Assemblyman Jesse Sumner was not in favor of that. He felt that they had already reduced the value of the land by making it below or fair market value, that it was less than what it could be, you know, sold for on the open market, and that he was concerned about the nature of the partnership with the Nader family, who it's been part of their operation. So there was some really big back and forth on that for a while.
Oh, yes.
Did you follow that for a while?
Oh, yes. It was fascinating. It kept my attention. In part because it was a break from what you might have expected, and that's always an interesting thing. Mr. McKee has very often said no to many, many things when he's, in fact, he has been the lone no vote for a number of things. But in this case, he stepped forward and did this, and after the discussion, bottom line was they agreed. And
they did agree to some rewording of the ordinance that was proposed. They had to do through the attorney, so they had to take a little break there. But and Mr. Sumner was successful in putting in a
reversion clause,
in there, sunsetting at 15 years, so that if they don't that there is some notes in there, and it passed with that, but it does retain a dual purpose, so as a general purpose and as ag land, so everybody seemed happy with that, and I think that was a nice surprise for people that are doing some pretty good work in a part of the valley that really needs that type of work.
Right, yeah, that went on, and we'll see, because one of the problems that the Assembly has had in the past is by dealing with land tied to a variety of purposes and thinking it through, spending some time, but finding as you go down the road that there are changes in people's ability to use the land in a certain way. And so leaving a purpose clear in whatever paperwork goes along with transferring the land that says basically, if you're not going to do this for the public purpose or in this way, it's not just your land to do with whatever you will. There may be some ag restrictions. There may be some other things on it. So they're
already using it for those purposes.
Right. So they took their time with it. I thought that was good.
Well, and it is important because it does set precedence when these things come up again, when the borough, which as very fairly Assemblyman McKee pointed out, the borough has a lot of land, but it's also a resource for them, and it is money that goes back into the general fund to support services. So they do have to do their due diligence when they sell something or let somebody use it for a purpose less than market value. But I think this was a good outcome. They are going to use it for sounds like a good purpose, and I think it's also when you get farther out with less density, you have less chances of conflict, so it's a little easier sometimes to use these things for different purposes because you don't have as many. There wasn't anybody that came forward and said, I don't want them to do this because it infringes on what happens in my property. There was only support, no non-support for it, which is kind of unusual in these days. But the farther you get out, the more you see that. So I think that speaks well that no neighbors came out and said, I'm not in favor of this. So the next big thing that I noticed, Mike, was an ordinance that was to extend the date of the police power task force. Originally, there was, I think it was due to expire the December 31st, and they wanted to change it to extend the sunset date, Mr. Sykes, to May 1st of 2020. And I thought that would be pretty easily go. Another one that seemed to be more of an easy thing to go through, but not so much it turned out. This is a task force. This was a result of an advisory vote that the voters had on the ballot in last October about whether the borough should have retained police powers and whether the and giving them the authority to explore the option, I should say, of having police powers. And so the mayor appointed set out by the assembly different positions of people across the borough that would get together and kind of explore that for them and deliver a report back to the assembly. And it's not an easy, simple thing. And I think Mr. Sykes, who kind of has spearheaded this because he's got an area that has responded, with the crime problems probably a little more significantly. And he has on the task force, and he's been, you know, very diligent in wanting to make sure it's done right. And so he brought it back to the table. Mr. Sumner was not at all in favor of it. He thinks it's an open-ended study by the commission. We shouldn't have those, that they should have hard dates on them. And then I was a little surprised to hear, but not really, Assemblyman Ted Leonard disagree with Mr. Sumner's and saying that the citizens want to do a very thorough job and it's important to take your time. He's a real thoughtful guy. So I guess it shouldn't surprise us, but he was in favor of the extending it. And he and Mr. Sumner often vote together. So that was good, I think, sometimes.
Well, I was listening there, I said, okay, I heard the back and forth. And I think you rightly put the spotlight on open-endedness as something that Mr. Sumner was opposed to. But what I heard was not open-endedness. I heard from Mr. Mayfield, Mr. Sykes, and Mr. Leonard the point that this was a group that was meeting and the time that was set initially was just too short to accomplish the task if it was going to be done right. What they just wanted to do is to do a reality check and say, okay, here's what we're talking about. I didn't feel that it was, like, open-ended. It was just being realistic. But I think the point was well made by Mr. Sumner. If you say open-endedness is not a good thing, okay, but that's not what we're looking at here, at least as I understood that. So,
well, I think his real... when he meant open-endedness is that he said right now it's not due to expire until November. Why don't we push it? Why are we talking about this now?
Because
we can have this discussion in a few months. And I think where Mr. Sykes was coming from is, you know, it is clear that we will not make that deadline.
Exactly.
Because now that they've met, and they've been meeting every 2 weeks, and we should know this is a volunteer position. People aren't paid to do this. So this is a committee that's meeting every 2 weeks, but they now have a better idea of what it's going to take to get all the information that is needed. It's a very serious discussion because there's really no disagreement that it's going to cost borough taxpayers to do this if they do a police force of some sort. And I think he made a really successful argument that they knew already they weren't going to be done by November and that they wanted to have a realistic deadline in order to complete the work. It went back and forth some.
Yeah, bottom line, it did pass, though. So they have
it did pass. Mr. McKee and Mr. Sumner were against, but it did pass. They had some really interesting audience participation, I thought. There was a very well-spoken guy from the borough, a guy by the name of Stephen Payne, who was just a concerned citizen from District 1, Mr. Sykes' district, that had some law enforcement background and just talked about just problems out in his area.
Which is just across the bridge as you go to the Butte, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds a little reminiscent to the Willowa problem and... Mr. Leonard's district last year, just on ongoing problem with people squatting and bad actors in his area, and that he talked about having some simple barriers that would kind of keep people out of that area. Then we had a sort of a litany of people, a reversal of what we saw the last meeting, Mike, sort of not in support of education. There was a resolution on the agenda that came up a little after all of there was about six, I think, testifiers not
right.
very supportive of education. Came up after in support of education that Mr. Mayfield had put on the agenda that they were speaking ahead of time. It had to do with
Full education funding, a resolution to support the legislature's discussion of full education funding.
Right, and the full school debt service. And they were talking about the school bonds. And this to me was a little bit interesting because I think Mr. Sumner started out not being in support of the school bonds. And it sounds like he's changed a little bit on that.
I believe so.
They did have a pretty... back and forth conversation about that, whether there should be a resolution at all. Mr. Sykes said that, I think actually Mr. Sykes brought this resolution up, that they had already passed one and that this was, shouldn't really be any problem to pass on this one. I think that there's a real fundamental difference in assembly members in the way they view things. Mr. Sumner really believes that we should really be cared. He wanted to change the amendment. He made an amendment to change the wording to say we supported full funding and bond reimbursement in the borough and in Anchorage, basically, in municipalities, sort of leaving out the whole state question.
Well, I think the argument that he made, and he stated it a number of times, was that he felt that the end result is that that we don't get our fair share, and that monies flow out of the borough to rural areas of Alaska, and that full funding done this way takes money away from the borough. And
did he have any? He didn't seem to have any data for that.
I was looking for that. I did not see that. That's an allegation. And in fact, I think what I took away as I listened to the people who spoke from the audience, that there were a number of times that allegations were made that were not rooted in references that I have used in the past. And so I would put the term dubious at a number of those. A lot of opinion, but not the kind of thing that I would take and say, well, this is a well-researched thing, et cetera. There was some anecdotal information and so on. But I also think that in part, since one of the speakers has announced as a contestant in the next election for District 1, that there was sort of a theme that he may have as part of his campaign. I saw that as happening. Yes, certainly focused on this particular item that was on the consent agenda and was a resolution, but also was tied in with the beginnings of a campaign.
Yeah. I think the conversation to me part was interesting is that it's a difference between caring about our district just getting funding or just how the state gets education funding overall. I see that theme developing, sort of that isolationist theme developing here a little bit. And I think that's going to take some fact checking too. Not only is it just a philosophy change, but it's really, I really would like to see the data that supports that the borough hasn't gotten their fair share.
Right.
And maybe it's true, and if it's true, then that should be
something to look at, right?
Something to look at. But on the other hand, if it's not, I've seen a little difference in the conversation too. A lot, even some walking back in the testimony from the individuals that spoke at this meeting about, well, the school system is failing, but our school system is doing okay. It was overall a few months ago, the whole school system was terrible. I think it is important to get those facts out to people that may have only gotten one stream of information.
True.
The other thing I had on the agenda I thought was kind of interesting was the conversation having to do with the award of a bid on crack sealing.
Oh, that was fascinating to me. Okay, go ahead. A quick summary.
So this is really a very common thing. They award every year, instead of repaving a whole road, the borough does not have the capacity at this time anyway to go around and repair roads where you see with a little asphalt trying to fix the cracks from that have developed over the winter. And it's a big contract. It's a million-plus contract. It's several-year contract, so they don't have to do it every year. And just like many, many other bids, we don't get a lot of bidders. That's a very common theme, although it didn't seem like Mr. Sumner was aware of that. So he was concerned why another contractor, there was only two bids on it to begin with, and one contractor was disqualified, making it sort of a sole source contract. We're seeing a lot about sole source contracting, aren't we, Mike, in the state. And he thought that literally anyone would be qualified to do this. As far as the why the contractor was disqualified and such, there wasn't anybody from purchasing here. So that's really who needed to answer that question. It would have been a good something that Mr. Sumner could have called earlier in the week, I'm sure, and got an answer to. But Mr. Dolan was there, was head of Public Works. He said, you know, actually, it really wouldn't have changed the outcome that they went with the low bidder. The one that was disqualified was a high bidder. And why do they have so few bids? There's just, it's kind of across the board. They only have a handful of bidders for things. Yeah. And he said, you know, contractors, the season is short and contractors are engaged all summer long. It's really not as simple as anyone can do it. There was some discussion from Mr. McKee having to do with the bidding process in general, and, you know, that he referred to it as a dog whistle bid, and that we should have more people bidding. This seems to come up, Mike, in my experience, about every 5 or 6 years. They get purchasing, they come in there, they do a lot of flailing in their arms the way the borough does purchasing. They have a work session on it, and then it's all kind of good. It seems like they're sort of perched to have that conversation, which is not, in all fairness, a bad one to have.
But you're pointing to the other interesting aspect of it, which I've heard as a theme, that really it's easy to do these things. It shouldn't be so expensive or complicated. And yet those people who have been down the road literally with a variety of contractors know that actually it is complicated to have assurance that the work will be done right and will sustain over time. This is not a simple thing. And that someone can say, well, I can fill cracks. That's an easy thing, without understanding the whole process that's required to do this, and particularly the safety aspect, closing off streets, et cetera, and so on. Mm-hmm. So someone who's been doing this for a while has that down. But it was fascinating. Again, at the end of the day, bottom line, they passed it, and we went off. So we got about.
I think Ted Leonard and Mr. McKee and Mr. Sumner were on the losing side of that.
Yeah, in that case.
But it did pass it, and you know, again, I think they're primed to have that purchasing conversation at some point here.
Yeah, we have about a minute, citizen lobbyist. How do you want to finish up?
Oh, just wanted to say there's going to be a pool ribbon cutting at the Wasilla Pool. It is finally over, and that there were some comments from the manager having to do with Seward Meridian finally getting the next phase in. Good comments in general. And I was just looking at the schedule, Mike, and the 16th, I think, is going to be when they're going to have the next meeting, and it has to do with the budget. In Palmer, they start their deliberations. There was some talk about that, and they've canceled a bunch of meetings. And
yep.
I think
they're working along.
Yep, they're moving along, and they're kind of still waiting for the state, and we'll see
what happens.
That rolls out for them.
And we did interview Hugh Leslie, who's the pools guy, and we've broadcast that, and it's up on our website. So if people want to get all the detail about the pools, a fascinating discussion about how it came to be and what's going to happen with Palmer. You can go to our Radio Free Palmer.
Well, I approved the bid for Palmer, so we'll see.
Yep. Okay. All right. With that, have a good day, citizen lobbyist.
All right.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.